So we have called these lectures discovery lectures because there is always one point which might be new, one thing point that you discover and that helps you along your path of Krishna consciousness in significant ways. Of course, in every lecture we are trying to, the devotees who give lectures try to bring one point to the attention of the listeners who then will take this with them. But during the Japa retreat, there is a specific effort which is done in the morning class to make really a point where you think, let me think about it. So this is the idea of this morning's class. I'm feeling very enthusiastic, really. And health is returning by Krishna's mercy. So, yes, let us now go into the class. Jai Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Gopi Jana Pallava Giri Varada Gopi Jana Vallabha Nire Varada Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Nandana Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Thira Vanachari Yamuna Thira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare.
Hi boy,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Radha Vrindavan Chanda, Radha Vrindavan Chanda, Sri Radhe. Jai Radha Vrindavan Chanda, Radha Vrindavan Chanda, Sri Radhe. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Today, Vasudev. Devaya. Vasudevaya. Atmani tada Bhagavat Jnananta Patyak Atmani tada Bhagavat Jnananta Ananda Matra Upapanna Samasta Shakto Bhaktim Vidaya Paraman Shanakir Avidya Grantim Vibhetyati Mamam Iti Prarudam Yes. Due to lack of time, we will go directly to the translation and the purport. That it is the grandfather, the father of all life here in the universe, Svayambhuva Manu, who gives a particularly important instruction for Dhruva's spur to progress. He tells him he must get out of his false ego. Thus regaining your natural position and rendering service unto the Supreme Lord, who is the all-powerful reservoir of all pleasure, and who lives in all living entities as the Supersoul, you will very soon forget the illusory understanding of I and mine. Purport. Dhruva Maharaj was already a liberated person because at the age of 5 years he had seen the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But even though liberated, he was for the time being afflicted by the illusion of Maya, thinking himself the brother of Uttama in the bodily concept of life. Listen to this now. Prabhupada will give a few two bombs now. The whole material world is working on the basis of, what do you think? Yes, the whole material world is working on the basis of I and mine. This is the root of attraction to the material world. If one is attracted by this root of illusory conceptions, I and mine, he will have to remain within this material world in different exalted or nasty positions. By the grace of Lord Krishna, the sages and Lord Manu, By the grace of Lord Krishna, the sages and Lord Manu reminded Dhruva Maharaj that he should not continue this material conception of I and mine. Simply by devotional service unto the Lord, his illusion would be eradicated without difficulty. So the text says very simply, by rendering devotional service to Krishna, one will very soon forget this illusionary understanding by which one identifies with the body and the mind in the concept of I and mine. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Vaminiti Namine Namaste Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Askachyare Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasari Go Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. My dear devotees, will you allow me to shock you this morning? Oh no. You will be shocked, but please listen to me until I've ended, and then you will know, wow, this was something. There is only one reason why we are separated to Krishna from, let's get this clear. There's only one reason why we are separated from Krishna and why we remain separated from Krishna even if we chant his holy name in the improper way. This is called aparad, or the definition of aparad is that which does not give pleasure to Krishna. As we chant the holy name, the 10 offenses are there, and we may continue for Bahu Janma, says Krishna Das Kaviraj, many births, there will be not the desired result. Now we hear about 10 offenses, but really there's only one. There's really only one obstacle, and if we can cut this, if we can get this understand and then relieve ourselves of it, our path is very, very clear. There are no further obstacles. The Padma Purana says, Shruti Pinama Mahatmeya Priti Rohito Naraha Ahammamari Paramo Namniso Pyaparada Krit. The translation is, to have no appreciation for chanting the holy name. If in spite of hearing about the wonderful glories of the holy name, one maintains one conception of I and my in this body of blood, flesh and skin, and in material sense objects, one stays deeply attached to this, showing no interest or persistence in chanting the holy name, then one is also an offender to the holy name. This is the main root of what separates us from Krishna, the ego. The thinking, I and mine, death as being separate from Krishna. And you can chant with this offense, but in this worldview, and well, there will be little result. From this offense, the aparada, or this what doesn't give pleasure, everything else comes. You have maybe asked, why does it say, for instance, the ninth offense, to give the holy name to unqualified people? What is the root of doing this? Well, someone may want to have followers. Or someone may like, by preaching the holy name, to feel that others glorify him as an all-knowing japa man, no? You might ask, well, what this offense? It says the offense, I should not consider the chanting of the holy name as an auspicious Vedic activity. What does this really have to do with me? Vedic auspicious activities. I'm from America, man. I don't think of Vedic auspicious activities. But the root of the ego, that is very the self-serving ego, that is behind it. I think if I'm in this aham mameti, yes, this holy name chanting is good, like, for instance, wearing a red ruby on Tuesday, or doing an astrological chart, a horoscope, and finding out how I can better navigate my life to be happy. You know, in other words, the false ego is also at the root of this. Let us go to the things which are more pure, near to us, to commit sins on the strength of chanting the holy name. Well, as long as we are in the aham mameti, we will be forced to engage in pious and impious activities in order to satisfy ourselves. Now, I could go through all the offenses, but for lack of time, we don't have this. I want to go to the offense which is mentioned as the first offense, that is to blaspheme those who are dedicated to spreading the holy name. This, my dear devotees, is the grossest, the most visible, the most directly perceivable result of staying in false ego, in aham mameti. It's very, very, very easy. When you are in false ego, when you are identifying with your worldview, to even find faults with a great acharya. You could find faults in Srila Prabhupada, even when you are in your own little constricted and self-constructed psychology or world. Because whatever is different to a person who's in this world, whatever seems to be outside of this little constructed world, is a disturbance for someone in false ego. He can't accommodate it. He can't think, for instance, in a logic that is beyond this very restrictive Aristotelian logic, and will find, for instance, when an acharya uses a paradox, he just immediately loses it and can. You said this here, you said at another time this here. My dear devotees, you can only explain something which is beyond the mind. the spiritual reality by stepping out of the two-dimensional logic of if this is the case, then the opposite must be wrong. Oh, what if both is true? Because something else is really behind everything, and so on. So, ahamamati, the little world of the ego, is cause of us remaining covered. Prabodhananda Sarasvati is really on our case. He writes in his Vrindavan Mahimamrita, he says, do you think your chanting of Hare Krishna will save you? Oops, I thought yes. My dear brother, do you think your chanting of Hare Krishna will save you from the cruel hands of death? No. Therefore, my advice is run to Vrindavan. Yes, wait. You may wait before saying Hari Bol to this. What he says is not go to Vrindavan, the locality in next to Delhi. He says you must come out of your own world. You must come into from the self-centered world to the Krishna-centered world, because that is the Vrindavan world. My dear devotees, we are putting so much energy into controlling our mind, but it rarely works, because we are so connected with our world of I and mine and our life that we are energized and fed by this world. The fan keeps on rotating as long as you don't pluck it out of the socket. In other words, your material concepts and material ideas in life will keep on going strong if you do not, I will use now a word which Mahatma Prabhu has introduced, if you don't unplug. Ravindra Swarup Prabhu once told me that he had gone to a priest seminary to preach. My English is not always absolutely accurate. A priest seminary is a place where mostly, I'm aware of, Catholic priests, they are trained so that they can later, when they have shown themselves to be worthy, that they can be priests and guides of the souls. They can give lectures, sermons on Sunday in the church. So this is the training place. No, they have the boot camp for military people and the priest seminary for those who want to go the priestly way. Now, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, I think, stayed there for a few days, and at the end of the day, of his stay, some of the future priests came to him and said they found it very difficult to purify their heart. Ravindra Swarup Prabhu must have given a lecture series there. They found it very difficult to renounce certain thoughts which they felt were inappropriate, especially when they were coaching or counseling, believers. And Ravindra Swarup Prabhu shared with them an observation. He said, how can you become free from attraction to the opposite agenda if you keep on looking these TV serials? And he said, I've noted every evening the TV is on, and these TV serials, which have sometimes inappropriate content for those who wish to be celibate, you know, they are running. Or you see others, you know, scenes where there's violence on the TV, maybe armed conflict, and how they people kill themselves on the TV. As long as you are remaining plugged in this world will feed you, and you will see how these impressions come in your mind, and you are then staying with the impressions. So my recommendation is plug out the TV, or at least, and then you will be able to unplug from this world, and so on and so forth. So, my dear devotees, I hope you get the point. When you want to control your mind, or you want to chant with taste, and you want to experience the blessings of the holy name, drenching your soul in the nectar of Krishna consciousness, but at the same time you're filling in, you're remaining in this aham mameti concept, in this self-constructed little self-centered world. How will it work? Can't work. If you have a cup which is constantly filling with ink, how will you ever have a pure water in there, or pure milk, or whatever? It is not possible. It is someone who keeps this idea of aham mameti, of I and mine, in his life. He will always feel no taste or lack of taste when he chants. He will not be in ecstasy. Because he's feeding himself with a different world than Krishna's world. The self-centered little universe in which he revolves. This is a point which we need to pay attention. We have all heard about avoiding the 10 offenses. If you still think I'm the body, I'm the mind, if you take your mind so serious, your mind which is meant, or your intelligence, let's go a step higher, which is meant to apprehend and misapprehend things, or have a correct understanding and an incorrect understanding. This is what the intelligence does, my dear devotee, is meant to do this. This is how it functions. If you keep your connection to this, and if you don't go from the mind to another place when you chant, it will not work. It just simply, and all what you get is mostly illusions about the holy name, concepts about the holy name, and so on. My dear devotees, this is a large subject matter. Can you think for a moment, where does false ego manifest in your life? I would say when you are intolerant of others, for instance. That's something rare. It's the number one thing which preachers have to address when people come for counsel. Highly intelligent people, devotees will say, I just can't stay around this person. It's not the smell, it's worse than the smell. It's his how he is or how she is. Intolerance of others, that's one way in which we suffer. Another way we suffer is from the false ego, when we feel helplessly swayed by the sensual impressions which come there, by material desires. All these are growing on the ground of false ego. When you take the ego away, then everything disappears of the self-constructed personality. So therefore, in the scriptures, Hari Bhakti Vilas, it says, spiritual activities like Homa, Yakyas, and Japa do not yield any result unless you practice releasing yourself from the false ego. There's a method in Vaishnava and all types of Vaishnavas, and everyone knows about this method, even those who follow different lineages and so on. It's called Bhuta Shuddhi. That is, you are distancing yourself from the from what is made of material elements. Bhuta means the five gross elements and the three subtle material elements, which include the ego, not the sense of identity. There is this Bhuta Shuddhi practice. In old times, this was quite intense. You know, you would take different breathing methods, chant beach mantras, and then dry the sinful Papa Purush who's down in your guts, you know. You would dry him up by one pranayama, by another pranayama, you would set him ablaze, you would burn him, Hare Krishna. There are other methods where and then you would think of your body as a container in which a drop from the Lord's lotus feet would fall, and then in that container the new persona, the new me, or let us speak in London English, the better version of yourself would appear. No? In Vaishnavism we don't do these things, because by fighting with Maya too much, you might be obsessed in Maya. But we try to purify our heart. We try to purify our consciousness through a certain meditation, which is called the Bhuta Shuddhi meditation. A simple version is this verse, Krishna Tomahana, my dear Lord, I have turned away from you for so many long years in this material world. Now I'm turning towards you as your sincere and serious servant. Please accept me. I would like to give you a feeling of chanting the Maha Mantra in this, when you are free from the ego, by a little meditation, which will be very helpful. And I will quote in this meditation another Bhuta Shuddhi mantra, which you all will recognize immediately because it's very known in our tradition. Would you be so kind to go into this meditation? Yes. Those of you who are a little tired, I spotted four devotees in the crowd who were diving and going to brother's sleep. You please do this in an open-eyed way, and you think of it more as a visualization journey. Maybe we should all, it's good if we are a little bit, coming into another modus of existence. So yes, those who can, you can follow everything. This is the problem with the Hare Krishna crowd. They are always, when you ask them to close their eyes, they go sleep deprived. For this, I will have to ask you to close a few times your eyes. So therefore, I request you pace yourself, rest enough. Okay. Ready?
Yes.
Good. I request you to sit properly. For a moment, just calm your mind through simple long in and exhales. As you inhale and exhale, stay with the breath. Walk next to your breath. You don't need to close the eyes, just breathe. Conscious in and exhales. Shift your focus, please, to your heart. Just become aware of your heart space. Sometimes you see devotees chanting like this, no? You've seen pictures maybe. What they do is they give a tactile impulse, which by touching the heart area, that it's easier for their consciousness to go there. Maybe it is not something you like to do. I personally don't like to do it. We are from North Germany. It's too much touchy-feely and so on for us. But the idea is breathe into your heart space. This is a good space because it's where the soul and Paramatma reside. Breathe into your heart. And follow this guideline. I let everything in my life slowly and gently disappear. My relationship, job, plans, all that which occupies my mind, let it slowly and gently disappear. I'm sitting here in the temple of New Vrindavan, which has a long devotional history. I concentrate on my heart space. This is where I, the real me, the part of the Supreme, the servant of Radha and Krishna am situated. Truly and really, it is my misfortune that I have been absent from that relationship. Instead, I have been wandering the world in the repeated cycle of birth and death, helplessly. I have identified with one material body, one dream after the other. But now my fortune has turned. Through his books and his followers, I met Srila Prabhupada. And I have learned from him about my actual identity as a pure spirit soul. Yes, I am a resident of the spiritual world. I belong to the kingdom of love. I'm an individual who is completely separate from the gross and subtle body. I've been inspired to take up the path of eternal loving service to their lordships Radha and Krishna. I will no longer ever be separate. I know that there is only Radha and Krishna and me, no one else. Please chant. We will chant together. From this space, in one voice, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, three more times, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare
Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
How can we move out of this false world of the ego? My dear devotees, this is a very serious thing. Do you know, I am really in false ego. I think really I'm a male spiritual leader of this movement. This is only true from one perspective, the perspective of service, but I am actually a tiny servant of Radha and Krishna, a blissful, if you want poesy, a blissful free person. Wow! I'm not German. I'm not sick with the voice. I am not conflicted with the GBC. I'm saying things to inspire your thoughts. By the way, the GBC is doing wonderful service. Without it, we would not have this retreat even. Nothing would exist where things go on. So I'm just throwing things out. Oh my God, I'm not having an issue with so-and-so because I'm not the body and the mind. Wow, I'm free. I am not having this mind. You know, I was this, I had this bad experience in this with the dentist when I was 8 years old, and now I avoid the dentist like anything, and I have cavities all out as a result in my mouth. I'm not a traumatized individual. I am a servant of Krishna. This is not so easy to have it as a philosophical concept and then feel for it. You have to realize this, my devotees. The last time I met Srila Prabhupada was in a very special darshan in London, and he spoke to me about this. I was not alone. There were four other Sankirtan devotees in the room. We were the super Sankirtan heroes of our Sankirtan. It was a considerable organization. The Sankirtan, we were the first. Anyways, so I had excelled in this. By the way, not in book distribution, I was a translator, so I somehow got in. Now I said to the, when I heard about this darshan, I said, only the Sankirtan devotees will go. What would they distribute without the translator? I have to come also. So grudgingly, I was accepted in the group. So we went into Prabhupada's room in London. He was sitting in a rocking chair, and to help him not become, you know, he was extremely sensitive, so the light needed to be blocked as much as possible. He had his glasses on, sunglasses, which we Prabhupada disciples, we called them the Govinda spectacles. And he was there in a very solemn mood. When we sat down, we were very, very shaky because we had not seen him up till now, only photos. But when we saw him live, and he was so emaciated, so absolutely emaciated, we were shocked. We sat there, and we looked at him, and he looked at each one of us. Then, in a very soft voice, he said, "So, have you understood our philosophy?" So immediately some devotees piped in. Savaramang parijajam. But no. Yare dekota he kohe Krishna upadesh. Prabhupada got animated, his lion-like quality came out. He was now in the absolutely teaching his disciples, maybe the last personal instruction. And he came to life. He said, "What is that Krishna Upadesh?" Upadesh means instructions. So the verse said, whomever you meet, tell him about Krishna's instructions. So Prabhupada now says, what are these instructions? He wanted to know what is the philosophy, what is everything resting on. Everyone became blank. Then Prabhupada said, first of all, you need to understand that life is eternal. End of darshan. He didn't speak anything else. First of all, the foundation of everything else is to understand I'm an eternal soul. He repeated what he had been saying so many times in the reverse. Aham Brahmasmi, I'm soul. He translated it often, I'm not the body, no? This is the foundation of everything. It is difficult to keep this foundation going because all we do, all we have is physical or sensual impressions, no? We are hot. Is the soul really hot? Why do we say we are hot? Because our body is hot. We are hungry. Is the soul hungry? It's the body which is hungry. And we need to take care of all these things. I'm not saying, inspiring you for premature illusory transcendentalism. No. I'm discontent. Is really? The soul is discontent? He's part of Krishna? I have problems with souls. Really? My dear devotees, I want to ask you a provocative question. What if it is true that you are not the body? Would your life look different if that is true? What if it's true that you live a life that is not your own? Would you like to live your own life? Your real life? Of course! But it's not so not so easy, because yes, we are working with these senses, we are perceiving with these senses, we are working in aham mameti. At least during our spiritual practice, we need to unplug. This is Mahatma Prabhu's word. Wonderful word. Unplug from many illusions. And plug in. Yes, we need some analogy, huh? Into Krishna's world. And then you chant and you don't want to stop any longer. Then there's life again, real life. Then there's happiness again, real happiness, and so on. While chanting Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada said in New York City in the year 1967, very early, no? While chanting Hare Krishna, you should always feel the presence of Krishna in person. That's what you do. You chant, you stop your ordinary thoughts and you think either nothing or extraordinary thoughts. You don't need the mind for chanting. Do you know this? Prabhupada used to say when he was asked, what do we do with our mind when we chant? He said, what's the question of the mind? You just hear and chant. No need of the mind. Throw him out. That he didn't say like this. This is from another culture. This, no. So Krishna, who has taken the form of sound, you let him in. You let him in through the door, which is so heavily guarded by your false ego, and then he enters the temple of your heart. This is, by the way, the place where you have to chant. Do you know that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, one achieves the perfection in chanting mantras. Once again, one achieves the perfection in chanting mantras when one keeps the vibrated sound within his heart and controls his materially attached mind. If you want to find this quotation for your own reading pleasure, please make a note. Chaitanya Bhagavatam, Madhya Lila 23rd chapter, verse number 75. And our Rupa Goswami says the holy name dances in the courtyard of where? Of the heart. That's what they speak about. The Katha Upanishad says it's difficult. No, he, Krishna, is difficult to comprehend, for he has secreted himself in the heart region of the individual soul. He stays there in a secret way, in a hidden way. He has secreted. What a beautiful English word. It's the first time I see it consciously. He has secreted himself in the heart region. So Krishna Bhaktas, they go into the heart region while they chant. It's not the physical heart. It's not the emotional heart where the Italian says, l'amore, amore. When he is in love, you know. It's not the emotional heart. It's that place where the soul and the super soul, or where the soul and Krishna stay. And there, from there, you chant the holy name in a feeling of relationship. This, when we hear it, is a little bit esoteric. No, not esoteric, or a little foreign maybe to our hearing, but we will work with this in our workshop. You will see, my God, there is a great treasure. I didn't know it's so easy to become absorbed, and so on. So, yes. Let me just look at the wristwatch in a secret way without you noticing. Oh. I would love to speak more on this, but there's only little time for questions. I request you to now ask a question. Please also, if you've asked a probing question, a question where we explore the subject more. Please, not always all the young devotees. Please, what do you think about this? there's only one obstacle that we are so much in our world, in our illusory world, even in a movement, you know. No one said when you join a movement you are immediately enlightened. That's not the deal. You are meant to apply yourself to Krishna consciousness, understand Sambandha, Abhideya, and then you reach Prayojana, or you hear Shravandasa, you accept Varandas, you think about this without forgetting it, Smarandas, Dasa, and then comes achievement, where you have the achievement. I tell you at the workshop, and then comes Sampatidasa, no? So the states where you are already in your spiritual body, fully surrendered to Krishna. So there is a process, and it starts, and it's so simple because the Lord has come in the holy name to help you, to help us. Enter that space, that leave the mental platform when you chant, in other words. Come to the spiritual place, and you will see miracles unfold before your eyes. Good. I now request you to ask your questions. I will choose those where Gopi Manjari, you are our MC, so you have to have the first choice. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Mm-hmm. You talked about unplugging, and I know during the actual practice is one thing, but I feel so. Working in the world, I live and work in Washington, D.C., and I'm so interacted with the world, management, people, politics. And over the last 2 years, not much satsanga, truthfully. Feel very overwhelmed and plugged into the material world. Like, now when I go to chant, it's really difficult because of everything that's filled up. And I'm just noticing this. I'm noticing I'm so filled up and plugged in. And even when I try and plug out, all those impressions are still whirling around in my head. And it's not that I can just extract that out. And I just would love some advice because I feel this is a real everyday struggle.
Yeah.
It's not that I take the time to chant, but I'm overflooded.
I'm very aware of this, and you are right. It is a problem, like we heard from the priest seminar. No, they are, the impressions come in of the world. My dear devotees, this is a very relevant question. And I want to answer it now in a personal way. A few years ago, I was very much attacked. And I was so vicious. And when I would sit down to chant, I only thought of these, basically one person. Didn't like me. I think he wanted to become my disciple, and I said, I think you have to go somewhere else and search. Earlier disappointment, and you know, they are computer expert, and I don't even know how to use a mobile telephone, and so on. And I was so much taking it to heart. Also by my nature, you know, when you're a preacher, you want that people take your, accept your service. You know, there's nothing, that the preacher wants that he can actually do his service. And I was thinking so much about this. And when I was sitting down, it had such an emotional quality. There were so many good things going on in my life, but I, why are they so unjust? Why is the world so unjust, you know? Why is this misunderstanding? It is, and so on. Oh, Krishna, 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 Krishna. And I could not bring my mind to chanting. So what I did is, I thought, well, the only way for me to live a genuine Krishna conscious life is I have to get out of the mind now. You know, this is, happiness and distress are coming and going. This is Krishna speaking in the Gita. It's unavoidable. If it's not from this, then I will step my toe and I think all day and night, toe, 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 step toe. Or if it's not that, surgery or no money and nothing to eat or anything, you know. So this is just the material life, I told myself. But my mind said, ha ha, Mr. Philosopher, you won't convince me today, and not tomorrow, and not the day after tomorrow. Suffer. I make you suffer. I will be your jailer, and I will be your prisoner at once. Oops. You know what I did? I prayed to Krishna. Please accept me. My Lord, on my own, I cannot control my mind. It is not possible. When there are these, you speak of, you know, so many things you have to do in Washington, D.C., where Mr. President resides, you know, so much, the air is full with Maya in Washington, D.C., you know, and that gets into our head. And we are also there. Pray. Helplessly go to your altar or to the bush. There's a good temple, I understand, in Potomac, also I was visiting in the past. Pray, you know, and just say, I'm not able to do this on my own. I have a god brother. He has left the body. Tribhuvanath Prabhu. He was distributing books in Lebanon and was captured. It was during the war there. It was thought that he was a spy, some international spy. And they put him into a prison cell. And they kept the light on. He had to sit like this. There was no place to sleep. Before the cell was locked by a grill. It was one door from here to there, and he was constantly surveilled when he would break down. What he heard was the screams outside in the courtyard where people were executed. They were put on the wall and then shot, you know. And sometimes he was brought outside the courtyard where he saw the remnants of the brains on the wall. It was cruel. It was meant to crack him down, you know. You know what he did? He prayed to Krishna and said, my Lord, my mind goes crazy. I have no sleep since 1 week. I have not taken a bath. The food is unacceptable. They gave some bread. Not he didn't have to. I don't know. He didn't speak about the food. And he said, please help me, my Lord. I will become crazy. I know I'm coming to the edge. I'm soon over the edge. please help me, and please help me that I can think of you. Then he remembered the nectar of devotion, where the Brahmana was poor and could not serve Krishna, but he did it in his mind. Then, next thing is, he started to serve Krishna in the mind, because when you serve Krishna, then you can come out of this ahamameti world, this world where you... And he did everything. He organized Hare Krishna festivals in his mind. He sang, he danced, he had darshan of the deities. He chanted in his mind, all in his mind. How? By Krishna's mercy he was able. Then they opened the grill. They took him with a hard grip. They brought him into the courtyard. You know that courtyard. And then they brought him out of the courtyard to the airport and on the plane to London Heathrow Airport. Here, they gave him the passport. Go, don't return. He was back after half a year. Tribhuvanath, very determined. So, yes, no one of us can control the mind. Even Haridas is saying this. Haridas Thakur, no one on his own can control the restless mind. Therefore, it behooves me. Is that an English word? Behooves me? I have to do this. To pray to you, my Lord, to please help me. And then there's hope. If Tribhuvanath got out of the mind cell, the prison of the mind, the false reality, well, maybe Krishna needs to turn up the volume a little bit more for you, Gopi Manjari, because it is seen in the Shastra that misery is a cause of turning to the Lord. But we don't want this at all. You have enough pressure already. Pray. Pray. This, my dear devotees, is not an easy lecture. It's not an easy lecture for me to give also, because I'm talking to you as if I'm very, I know the philosophy is correct, but it's so difficult in practical life. But at least during the practice, we should try and try and try again. This is for spiritual life, no? It's not for material life, this movement. And so we should be willing to go into this direction and pray to Krishna to help us. Time is also there, and I would like to end here. I would like to all of you to reflect about this. This was a heavy lecture, I'm aware of it. If we think about this and go think through it, I will end with something encouraging. I will end with a very interesting quote by Rumi. Your task is not to seek for love. What? In all the many Rumi poets you find, we should look for love, no? No, here he says, your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers that you have built against it. So when we talk about this, look where the ego is a little strong, tear it down, and you will have easy progress in your life. My dear devotees, I want to end here because breakfast is also coming. Let me just thank you very much. Thank you for this good question. I feel you have asked a question which was very relevant to all of us. We will meet again. There's now a pause. Thanks God. We will meet at 10:30 in a totally cool... 11:30 in a totally cooled yoga shala. We have found out the way to make it extremely cool, the most pleasant place in New Vrindavan at this moment. So please come, 11:30. Hare Krishna.